Okay. So we'll begin chapter 69. What is chapter 69 called?
Yeah.
Okay. Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing that Lord Krishna had killed Narakasura and had alone married many brides, Narada Muni desired to see the Lord in this situation. He thought, it is quite amazing that in a single body Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Thus the sage of the demigods eagerly went to Dwaraka. The city was filled with the sounds of birds and bees flying about the parks and pleasure gardens, while its lakes, crowded with blooming Indi, Avara, Amboja, Kalara, Kumuda, and Utpala lotuses, resounded with the calls of swans and cranes. Dwaraka boasted 900,000 royal palaces, all constructed with crystal and silver, splendorously decorated with huge emeralds. Inside these palaces, the furnishings were bedecked with gold and jewels. Traffic moved along a well-laid-out system of boulevards, roads, intersections, and marketplaces. And many assembly houses and temples of demigods graced the charming city. The roads, courtyards, commercial streets, and residential patios were all sprinkled with water and shaded from the sun's heat by banners waving from flagpoles. Would have a mandal group?
Sri Krishna, Srila Prabhupada recently described the city of Dwaraka as follows. Being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing this household affairs with so many wives, Narada desired to see these pastimes and so set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narada arrived in Dwaraka, he saw that the gardens and parks were full of various flowers of different colors and orchards that were overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping and peacocks were delightfully crowing. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes, whose voices resounded everywhere. In the city there were as many as 900,000 great palaces, built of first-class marble with gates and doors made of silver. The most of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstone, sapphires and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, street crossings and the marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwaraka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, streets, and also the hillsides of every residential house were very clean. On both sides of every path there were bushes, and at a regular interval there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that the sunshine would not bother the passers-by.
Very good. Any points here?
Because it makes it look like Indian mythology. They don't want to make that a reality. That's the conclusion of the American scientists.
Just let them put it out, who cares? Put the video out, everyone should see it. Just put it out, put it on the internet, everyone should see it. What's the problem? Any other points?
As for Christ, there is a word of all offenses. So a city was full of offenses.
Yeah. Nice. Any other point?
And everything in the sea water.
Yeah.
He was the white city.
Yeah. So, Krishna married 16,108 wives in Dwarka. As we've explained this year, as we've studied this part of the Bhagavatam, when Krishna left Vrindavan, then in Dwarka, the wives that Krishna married were expansion of the Rajagopis. They're Radharani and the other gopis. So these gopis, in order to serve Krishna, they expanded. So wherever Krishna goes, then his Ladini Shakti, his associates, they will also expand and they will serve him. So Krishna, he left Dwarka, left Vrindavan, and then they all expanded. Now the first eight, as we discussed this year, the principal gopis, they had personal pastimes, how they reunited with Krishna, the principal eight gopis. So what were the principal eight gopis? Who were they? Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha. Not Chitra. No, that's Radharani's gopis, but the eight principal gopis. Who became the wives? Bhadra, Shaibya. No, that's the names of when they became. But who were they in their gopi forms? No, it means there was Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, Shamsaki. Then there was Chandravali, Padma, Bhadra, and. That's eight, yeah. Padma, Bhadra, Chandravali, there's one more, Shaibya maybe. So these were the eight principals. So they became the queens, but then the others, 16,100, they were captured by the demon, whose name was?
Narakasura.
Right? We heard that past time when we went back. All right? So Narakasura, then he stole the 16,100 gopis who had gone to the bank of the river Jamuna. And at the bank of the river Jamuna, then they were stolen, they were taken to Narakasura's city. And then Krishna, when he defeated Naraka, then he captured all 16,100. He took them to Dwarka. And in order to facilitate the pastimes of having them as his queens in Dwarka, Dwarka is full of opulence. So he needed to construct a palace for every single queen. So there were 16,108 palaces just for Krishna and his queens. Now it says here in this verse and purport, how many palaces were there in the whole of Dwarka?
900,000.
Like 900,000. Only 16,000 were Krishna's. You know? And then there were so many other palaces of the relatives, the Yadu dynasty. So all of this, as we described earlier in the year, the whole city was 96 square miles. Right? And all the palaces were within that area. Right? It's quite a substantial area, but still, compared to how many palaces were in there, it's not so substantial. It says that each of Krishna's palaces were 4 square miles. Yeah, so they're very large. Right? So even Krishna's palaces would not fit in that area. What to speak the other 900,000. So in order to facilitate his pastimes, his Shakti facilitates. So we hear the description of Goloka, which I've described many times. So Goloka is like a lotus planet. And then the lotus is conscious. It's the expansion of Balaram ultimately. So then it unfurls and closes according to Krishna's desires. So if Krishna wants to go from the western side of Braj, like Kamyaban, and then he wants to go to the eastern side of Braj, like Bandiravan, then the lotus will close, and then Krishna can quickly move around, and then it can open up again. Yeah? So it will serve him according to his desires. So in the same way, he's a Chincha Shakti, he's a Lila Shakti, it is serving him within Dwarka. Because he wants to live there with all of his associates, then everyone is placed within there and there is room. So it expands, time and space expands within the city, but outside of the city it just looks like it's a certain size. You know? So this is how Krishna performs his pastimes. So this is unlimited Aishwarya. Because there are three dharms. There is Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri, or Dwarka. Each dham has a different mood. So what is the mood of the Mayapur dham? Or Darya. Or Darya means?
Mercy.
Yeah, mercy, munificence, compassion, like that. Mayapur is in the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Srimati Radharani. It just gives like unlimited mercy. Purifies the consciousness of the living entities, even when they're not qualified. So in Kali Yuga, especially the devotees take shelter of Mayapur dham. Because we chant the Panchatattva mantra before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Why do we do that?
To forgive any offenses.
Because, offenses are not considered. So it purifies the consciousness. So same as Mayapur, offenses are not considered. So when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, do you chant the Panchatattva mantra first? Right? How many times? Yeah, there's different ways to do it, right? We can chant before, we chant the Maha Mantra and then just chant our rounds. When I first joined, then I used to, in between each round, I chant the Panchatattva Mantra. And then sometimes even three times or in between the rounds. But now I just chant. I chant in the beginning when I sit down to begin my japa. Then I chant the Panchatattva Mantra. I don't chant in a set amount of times. I'll just keep chanting it until I feel connected to the Panchatattva. Sometimes I'll chant like 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, maybe. I don't count, but just, meditating. Especially when I have time, like when I'm in the Dharma, I'll just chant until I feel connected to the Panchatattva, and then I'll begin the Maha Mantra. And then I'll just chant, and I won't chant Panchatattva in between each mantra. So there's different ways you can do it. So the point is, you have to take shelter of Panchatattva before you take shelter of Radha Krishna. So you have to take shelter of Mayapur before you take shelter of Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in order to, he says, when you go to Vrindavan, unless you're very qualified, you will not be able to attain Radha and Krishna. And actually he says that if you're a neophyte and you go to Vrindavan and you meditate on Radha and Krishna, the rasa between the two, between Radha and Krishna, their pastimes, the conjugal pastimes, he said that if you're not qualified, that rasa will turn to virasa, which means it will become mundane. Instead of your material desires being cleansed, your material desires will increase. Instead of your lust being cleansed, it will increase. So he says that for the neophyte devotees, the devotees in Kali Yuga in particular, we should go to Mayapur. Because in Mayapur, the offences are not considered. So in Mayapur Dham, we become purified by hearing the Panchatattva Mantra and taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says, if you go to Mayapur and you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says in just a few days, you will see Radha and Krishna. So obviously a few days means more than a few days for us. But it means in a short time, by worshipping Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, Radha and Krishna can become manifest very quickly. That's the potency of Mayapur Dham. Because it's in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. It's Aldarya. It does not consider our offences. So then, there is Vrindavan Dham. And the mood in Vrindavan is? Madhurya, yeah. Vrindavan is considered to be Madhurya Dham. It's considered to be the place of sweetness. Now, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopas and the gopis and the cows and everything in Vrindavan is sweet. So those who go to Vrindavan, they experience the sweetest pastimes. And that's where Krishna is the happiest. Because Vrindavan is more opulent than Dwarka. It's actually more opulent. But in the Ingaloka, it's actually more opulent. But the Aishwarya is overwhelmed by the Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. So even though it is so opulent, no one gets bewildered by the opulence or distracted by the opulence. They just get focused on the sweetness of the pastimes. But actually, it is the most opulent of all dharms. But it is considered Madhurya, just completely sweet. Because in Vrindavan, only the three higher rasas are prominent, which means Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya ras. The other rasas are not present there. There's no pure Dasya, and there's no pure Shanta. Right? There is only pure Sakya. The Sakya there is not mixed. There's no mixing of the There's no aura and reverence in the relationship. Just like when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he goes to Dwarka. We see in the previous pastimes, he's associating with Arjuna. So when he associates with Arjuna, it is not free from awe and reverence. Right? The pastime is not free. Everyone turn the phones off because it's too distracting. It is not free. Like Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he sees Krishna's universal form. And then he says, make that form disappear. Because I cannot relate to that form. It is overwhelming. So this is the nature of the pastimes of friendship outside of Vrindavan. Right? They have awe and reverence, not pure Sakya. Whereas within Vrindavan, it is pure Sakya. Just friendship. There's not awe and reverence for Krishna, right? They just see Krishna as a friend, Sakya. Right? Same as Vatsalya. Right? The Vatsalya within Vrindavan far surpasses the Vatsalya in Dwarka. Yeah. And the pastime is there in Kurukshetra, which we'll study next year. Because Krishna goes to Kurukshetra, chapter like 81, 82. And Krishna visits Kurukshetra. So he sees the Brijbasis again. And when he sees Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, then Vasudeva and Devaki are also present. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they say, Devaki says to Mother Yashoda, oh, my son has so much attraction for you. But Krishna and Yashoda are so close that there is no consideration in Yashoda's mind that Devaki is the mother, right? Her Vatsalya Bhava is so strong. Actually, it says she doesn't even hear Devaki. Right? Devaki speaks, she doesn't even hear. She says, actually, my son is very attached to you. She doesn't even hear her. It's pure Vatsalya. Whereas you see in the Bhagavatam, if you go back to the opening chapters of the 10th canto, when Krishna appeared before Devaki and Vasudev, then they offered prayers. And also when they met again in Mathura after the wrestling match with Kamsa, at first they were overwhelmed with the feeling that of his Aishwarya or his personality of being a great personality like God. So it always interferes with the pure mood of Vatsalya. Whereas in Vrindavan, it is sweet because it's pure Vatsalya. And the conjugal rasa is also sweet. Because you see with Rukmini, we saw several chapters ago where Krishna is teasing her. And then she, she's fanning him. And then, there's this mood of mixing. The conjugal rasa is also mixed with the mood of understanding his awe and reverence. Or having awe and reverence towards him. Even in the conjugal rasa. It's not pure conjugal rasa. Whereas with the gopis, it is pure conjugal ras, which means there is no mixture of Aishwarya, no mixture of awe and reverence. They just see him completely, spontaneously, right, as their lover, and they have that intimate and powerful attachment to him. So that is the moon. These things are not found. That kind of love is not found outside of Vrindavan. So then Audarya in Mayapur, Madhurya in Vrindavan, and then Jagannath Puri, which is said to be non-different from Dwarka, is Aishwarya. Yeah. So Aishwarya, the Aishwarya of Dwarka, is also seen in Puri. The two dharmas are said to be the same. That's where Krishna shows his Aishwarya, means his opulence. Madhurya is there, but the Madhurya is affected or mixed with the Aishwarya. So everyone's very conscious of Krishna's supremacy, his powerful position. You see in Jagannath Puri, if you go to Puri, you'll see there's an Aishwarya there. Great opulence. The temple is so big. The deities are so big. The Rath Yatra is so big. The offerings. Right? Huge amounts of bhoga. Yeah, they feed 10,000 people sometimes. I think in just one offering they can feed thousands of people. Such a powerful, biggest kitchen in the world in the Jagannath Temple. It's 1 acre in size. It's as big as this whole piece of land that the Melbourne Temple's on. That's just the kitchen. It's just cooking all day for Lord Jagannath. So this is Aishwarya. So here in these pastimes, Krishna is showing Aishwarya. And now Narada is going to see his Aishwarya because he married 16,108 wives. A palace has been built for each one of them. Each palace is 4 square miles in diameter. It's a massive area. I mean, this is just their house. Imagine your house is that big. Imagine if your house was as big as this Prabhupada house. And then imagine if it was as big as this block. Or imagine if it's as big as the whole block. All the way down Dank Street. That's just your house. Right? Krishna's house is bigger than that. It's 2 miles, like from here to MSAC. That's his house, like that. Probably bigger. It's like that's the whole house, just walking from one end to the other. Right? This is opulence. So we have to meditate to understand the power of Krishna, how powerful he is. So Narada wants to see this. Narada has come to Dwarka to see the opulence of Krishna. He wants to understand it. Because Narada is imbued with that. Lord Shiva and Narada both wanted to enter the Rasa Mandala, the Rasa Leela. But both of them had to stay at the edge. They were given gopi forms. If you go to Govardhan Hill, there's a place called Naridvan. Where is that? Near Kasum Sarovar, like on the other side of the road, but that very close. So Narada does austerities there. Even now, it is said that Narada, he resides at that place. So he gets a gopi form. They give him a gopi form. He can go, but he can't enter into the Rasa Leela. He has to stay on the edge with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva also takes the gopi form. But they can't enter in it because they're attached to the Aishwarya or the opulence of Krishna. So Narada is like that. He's that kind of bhakta. He's actually a Vaikuntha bhakta. But he can enter the Vrindavan pastimes, but he can't fully enter the mood. He can't be a Brijbasi. He worships the Brijbasis, but he cannot be a Brijbasi. But he associates with them. So he comes into Dwarka because he wants to see Krishna's opulence. But it is described if you're a yogi, you can have mystic cities, you can have how many bodies?
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 bodies, because it means your body and then 8 expansions. So 9 times you can expand yourself. 8 times you can expand yourself. 9 folds. So he can only go into 9 palaces at once. So even though he wants to perceive Krishna's opulence, he cannot perceive it fully because he can't go everywhere at once. And when he goes into, you see in this chapter, when he goes into the different palaces, Krishna is doing something different in each palace. And in each palace, it's a different time of day. How do you do that? Yeah, it's like, okay, you go outside next door, we have three houses there. Right? So you go in the house, then you go in the next one, you go in the next one. You go in the first one's morning, next one's lunchtime, next one's evening. How's that possible? That is what Krishna shows, Narada. I'm in all of them, I'm doing something different in each one, and it's a different time of day in each one, I have a different pastime going on. Inconceivable. So imagine what Narada is thinking. Yeah, how powerful Narada is. He can expand himself into eight forms. That's powerful. That's a great deal of mystic city. Yeah. But it's the same Narada, that's the point. Right? You might have the eight forms, but they're all the same. They can't all start doing different things, is it? You know. Whereas Krishna, each form, is completely performing different leelas, different pastimes, all completely independent. This is the extent of Krishna's Shakti. Yeah? So the Bhagavatam is teaching us this. Yeah? This is Krishna's position.
The eight forms, if like Narmun expands into eight forms, can each one do different activities?
To a degree, yeah. To a degree. Yeah. But not like Krishna. They can be completely independent. Not like that. You see that when Kardamuni also did it. But you see, when Krishna is performing his lila, it is completely independent. This is why he performs these pastimes. The 10th canto shows us. In chapter 13, 14 of 10th canto, he bewilders Brahma. Vimohana lila. This shows his power. Right? This pastime also shows his power. When he defeats Lord Shiva a few chapters back, they have the battle. That shows his power. Right? He can defeat Shiva. He can bewilder Brahma. These are the most powerful personalities. And Krishna just... It gives us... You have to meditate on this to understand the depth of Krishna's potency. We want to understand Krishna's potency, the internal potency, how powerful he is. We can never understand it, but we should meditate on it to get some understanding. So this is another pastime which he showed. This is Aishwarya. This is power. Narada comes in, shows some power. It says, Lord Brahma says, he felt like a firefly in front of the sun. So you've seen fireflies in your life? Around Mumbai they have them. I haven't seen them other places in India. But down near the farm, some places they have them also. Quite rare, you see. But you only see them at night. In daytime, they don't do anything. Why? Because the sun's out. So even though they're going around with all their light, nothing. So even Lord Brahma comes before Krishna, he says, no power. Even though he's so powerful, but compared to Krishna, there's no power. So that is the position. So that's what the 10th canto is teaching us. This all-powerful entity is just a cowherd boy. So, any points?
So what is this? Madhurya, Aishwarya and third one?
Odarya.
Odarya.
Odarya. Odarya. That's Mayapur. Any other point? All three dharmas have all three. Right. Mayapur has Aishwarya, Madhurya, and Odarya. But Odarya is the most prominent. Same as Vrindavan, all three are there, but Madhurya is the most prominent. And Puri and Dwarka, all three are there, but Aishwarya is the most prominent. That's all.
You know that Jesus told me about the Yashoda and the Devaki. Was it in Kurukshetra?
Yeah, there's a pastime in Kurukshetra. Yeah.
Because if he
Yeah, that's the feeling she has.
So it was, I don't think Yashoda went to Dwarka, is she?
She did, yeah. There are pastimes with it. It's not in the Bhagavatam, but there are pastimes where the bridge buses go to Dwarka.
All of them?
Yeah. Most of them. I mean, maybe a few stay back to look after the cows, but nearly everyone else can.
It's another book, is it?
Another, yeah. It must be in the writings of the Goswami, isn't it? Shivaram Swami explains it in Krishna Sangati. Explains the pastime.
Krishna Sangati. Yeah.
That's a very good book. Everyone should read that. If you're studying the 10th canto, you need to read that book to understand the 10th canto. Any other points? Anyone coming to the farm this Sunday? Go puja? Okay, one person, that's good. Okay. I'll pray to the cows for all of you. Good luck. Good luck. I worship the cows on your behalf. Good luck. I pray you all get blessings. Kalambakanand Swami will be there also. So. In the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter worshipped by the planetary rulers. This district, where the demigod Vishwakarma had showed all his divine skill, was the residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated by the 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queens. Narada Muni entered one of these immense palaces. Aishwarya.
Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Dvashta Vishwakarma manifested the expertise of the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to build such exquisite palaces. Srila Prabhupada writes, the great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship Lord Krishna. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishwakarma, the engineer of the demigods. And in the construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity.
Any points here? Yeah, because all of these dharms are eternally manifest. All of Krishna's palate, they're all eternal. But just like when Krishna comes into the world, in the spiritual world there is no Jamalila. You know, Krishna doesn't appear in the spiritual world. It's only here. There has to be an appearance to make it look human-like. So the palaces are not created. In the spiritual world they always exist. But Vishwakarma appears to create them. But they're always there, unmanifest or manifest. It's either uppercut or precut. It's either manifest or unmanifest, but they always exist. Sometimes you can't see them here in this world, but they always exist.
They found the city inside the water. They found the pillars and everything inside the water, Dwarka.
What's in Dwarka in the ocean? It's probably just when Krishna left this world, he left a material form. It's probably just some like material thing, because it would have been so much more opulent. They're just finding stone and stuff, but it would have all been marble and jewels. It says here it was silver and emeralds and gold and crystal, and they're just finding stone. So I think that's just like when Krishna leaves this world, you know, he leaves a material form. It's not his form, it's like a material form. So I think what's in the ocean, that's just so the scientists can go and dig it up and say, oh, yeah, it was there, but I don't think it's the real, it's not the actual palace that Krishna lived in. Just Krishna left something there just to make everyone believe. Same as in Setu Banda, when there's, you know, that bridge is there. Now they found it. You know, the satellites can see it now, like that. But, you know, whether or not it's exactly like that, they dated it 1.7 million years old or something like that. So it's, you know, that might, yeah, maybe that's the correct date of the stones. But, you know, it may have been quite, may have been more powerful than what is left, you know, whatever Sankhya. So this whatever is created by Vishwakarma, it already was manifest, but then he created it and now it manifests again in this material world. Now, you have to meditate on these things. Try to see these things. Try to visualize these palaces. When you're chanting a Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada, this is what the chanting is about. Yeah, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us in Bhajana Rahasya, and you know, there are different books. There's one beautiful book by, very small book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Nam Hatha. Have you ever seen that one? It's a very rare book. But it explains the marketplace of the holy name. Now, who is the who is in charge of the marketplace of the holy name? Yeah, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is in charge of the marketplace of the holy name. And he is selling the holy name. Now, if you want to purchase the holy name, what is the price?
Intense greed.
Yeah, that's like a higher level. But initially, Shraddha. Yeah, Shraddha means faith. When you have faith that Krishna is God, just like on last few weekends at the farm, we had retreats. So like Western people are coming and preaching. You know, when I come to Melbourne, I preach to Indian people. At the farm, I don't want to preach to Indian people. And Prabhupada said, preach to the locals. We're already successfully preaching to the Indian people. Yeah, so many Indians are becoming devotees. Yeah, so it's successful. That's Melbourne's strength. But maybe our weakness is we're not preaching to the Westerners enough. So at the farm, we're preaching to the Western. People are coming. So one girl, she became a devotee. You know? And then they were asking questions. You know, we had a satsang and all the Western people, 20 of them were there. And we're preaching. And then someone asked, what does it mean to be a Hare Krishna? I said, when you accept that Krishna is God, then you become a Hare Krishna. Right? So why do we accept Krishna as God? What is that? That is called Shraddha. That's faith. When you have that faith, you purchase the holy name. Right? If you don't believe Krishna is God, it's not the holy name. You can chant Krishna. Like so many Mayavadis chant. Even these days. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. My body. It's not the holy name. Krishna is not manifest in that name. Right? It's an abbas. It's a shadow. It's not, Krishna is not manifest in that name. So then, when we chant, how do we purchase? When you have faith. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you purchase because there is nama, rupa, guna, lila. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, if you want to purchase the holy name, you have to have Shraddha. But if you want to purchase the Rupa, so that means when you chant, you begin to meditate very deeply on Krishna's form, right? He said, what is the price for that, to get the form? If Shraddha is the price for Nam, then what is the price for Rupa? Right? He says, Nishta, you know, which is the fourth level, right? Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti. So actually it's the fifth. Nishta. So he said Nishta is when you get the form. So Kartik is beginning next week, huh? So is everyone ready? Are you meditating on your Kartik vrats? Right? I've been meditating for months. Right? What are my vratas? You have to, Kartik is the time when we get very, very, very serious. In Melbourne, when does it start? 23rd. What's the calendar say?
Huh?
Is that a Thursday?
Yes. That's Thursday.
Thursday 25th?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting on the 24th. I'm starting on the 24th because that's the Purnima. In Melbourne, they start on the 25th. But in Vrindavan and Mayapur, they start on the 24th. Mm-hmm. You choose. Whatever you want to do, it's good. But I'm starting on the 24th. That's when I start my
right there.
Huh? Yeah, you can do it also. Don't make a big thing though. Don't go around the temple saying Keshava said. Because I get into trouble sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm going to start on that day. That's when I'm going to, Dhammadharashika every day, I'm going to start on that day. Because it's Purnima. But the point is, you know, you choose what day you want to start. But the point is you should have some vrata. You should go deep. Because Kartik is an opportunity. You have the opportunity to make advancement very quickly in Kartik. Very powerful. It's like having Janmashtami every day for a month. Very, very powerful, right? So you have to get very serious in Kartik. And Burujan Prabhu, he told us a few years ago, you know, we go to these holy name retreats in Vrindavan. So I've been going like 15 years to these retreats. And Burujan Prabhu said, aim high. Not too high, but aim high. Because we're here, right, in our bhakti. And Krishna's there. But if you aim high, maybe you'll get to there in Kartik. You can make a lot more advancement than what you normally could. Just by aiming very high. So look for the rupa. Try to get to nishtha in Kartik. Try to find Krishna's form. Meditate while you're chanting. Go to the next level. Deepen your bhakti. Right? Make it a more profound experience. Right? Visualize this. Try to see Dwarka in your heart. Dwarka is in your heart. Dwarka can manifest in your heart. We're reading this. Right? We can actually see all this. Right? But it's only when our chanting is pure, that's all. Yeah? We're chanting Hare Krishna, but because we're chanting in Nama Bas, we're not getting the full light. We have to get Shuddha Nam, which is much higher. So you have to chant like that. Try to find these things. Try to see Krishna. Try to see Srimati Radharani. Try to see Vrindavan. Try to see Dwarka. Look for these things in your heart. They're there in the heart, but you have to uncover. Cheto Dapana Manjana means cleansing it. All these things can manifest. So, here it describes that these palaces in Dwarka, they are always manifest. But we can't see them. So now they're manifesting. And it's described here what they look like. So meditate on these descriptions. Try to see these palaces. Try to get an understanding of how powerful Krishna is by meditation and jhana. That's why when you chant, you have to go to a very deep state of meditation. And then after the rupa comes the guna. Krishna's qualities, they begin to manifest. So the higher level of bhakti. It says that when you get to the stage of asakti, so nishtha, you see begin to meditate on the form, ruchi, asakti, when you get to asakti, you begin to understand your form. What is your form in relation to Krishna? When do you want to understand your form? Try to understand your form in Kartik. Yeah, you have 1 month. Go very deep and maybe you'll see your form. Only your lack of desire is holding you back, that's all. If you're serious, you can see it. You can see who you are, you can see who Krishna is. But if we lack desire, then we cannot see. That's the goal. That's what we're aiming for in our Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says this. Prabhupada says, when you chant, there's comments where Prabhupada says, when you chant, just hear, right? We always hear that. Prabhupada says, just hear. Prabhupada said that. There are other comments where Prabhupada says, when you're chanting, the lila will come in front of your eyes. it will manifest in your heart. He says that. Prabhupada didn't say just, because sometimes I say, just here. I thought, yes, just here, but while you're hearing, it can manifest so much more. Advanced devotees, I know, our gurus, my guru and other gurus who are in this room, gurus of some of you who are in this room. You know, I've been into their bhajan kutiyas when they're chanting, or I go to the bhajan and I see what it is, what they meditate on, the pictures that they meditate on. They look at pictures of Krishna and they chant. I think you have to go deep into your chanting. So, here, Vishwakarma has created a very opulent city. And we need to meditate on that city and try to understand the power of Krishna's pastimes. And understand, as it says in this verse, the other rulers in the universe would come to offer obeisances to Krishna in Dwarka. What was that pastime? We haven't got to it yet. Where Lord Brahma, right, he goes to visit Krishna in
Dwarka.
In Dwarka. And then Krishna says,
which Brahma?
Which Brahma are you? And he thinks, Lord Brahma. And then when he goes in, right, so many other Brahmas come. Because one Dwarka is there, that same Dwarka is in every universe. So I'm telling you, I mean, this is unbelievable potency. We have to meditate on these things. Because we've read these things so many times, we've heard these things so many times, we've spoken about them so many times, but you have to go very deep in your meditation. Then the Bhagavad Gita comes to life. So we hear that all the universal rulers would come and visit Krishna in Dwarka. Right? They all saw him as being supreme. Also the Rajasuya sacrifice, the pastime, where Krishna is worshipped by everyone. All the universe comes to that Rajasuya sacrifice of Mahajudhisthira. And everyone acknowledges Krishna's supremacy, right? Except for Shishupal and some other people. So, any points?
So the price for knowing the guna is yin.
Can't remember what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. It must be ruchi or asakti for the guna.
Sorry?
Ruchi or asakti.
Ruchi.
Yeah, for the guna.
Lila?
Yeah, must be high level of asakti or bhava. High level of asakti or bhava. Then you purchase lila. At bhava you begin to actually see the actual lilas. In bhava, you actually see the real lilas. And then they disappear. And then prema, you see them continuously.
Said that when you go to Vrindavan and you are not in right consciousness, then you will rest and
will
become what?
Virus. Virus, yeah. Means the opposite.
Vi.
Yeah. Like Vikama.
Oh, okay.
Virus. Becomes materialistic. Yeah, means you'll get material lust instead of spiritual lust.
Mm.
Any other points?
So it must be, you know, when you, about the palaces and everything. So then Lord Krishna was living there. So it must be transformed from the spiritual world into the material world.
What's that?
You know, all the palaces and everything there.
Yeah, the spiritual world comes down to material.
So it must be transferred.
Yeah.
Mystically.
Yeah.
So Vishwakarma didn't do it. It must be an idea of Krishna.
He appeared to build things, but they're already there. He's just manifesting them.
Okay.
Like Krishna already exists, but then he appears. Like there's a Jammalila.
So Vishwakarma must be having mystical power.
Yeah, he's empowered by Krishna.
Yeah.
Everyone is empowered by Krishna.
That's right.
Supporting the palace were coral pillars decoratively inlaid with Vaidurya gems. So you'll see like the different gems they use. Coral. Red coral. Why do you wear red coral? Because it dissipates the ill effects of
Mars.
Different. The blue sapphire, then that dissipates the effects of Saturn. Or you'll see in the Bhagavatam, it says the pillars are made of lapis lazuli, which is blue stone with gold going through it. So this is to ward off the effects of Saturn or red coral. So there's reasons why they do all these things. Even in your house, it says that you can paint different colors in different rooms to satisfy different gods, and you can get into these things if you want. In the Melbourne temple, they dress the deities every day. Monday is moon day, so white. Tuesday is Mars, so they dress reddish colors. Wednesday is Mercury, so they dress greenish colors. So, you know, you can do these things. Yeah. Krishna doesn't have to do anything but these things. Even in Dwarka, it says that he had, you know, red coral and lapis lazuli.
What's the color of the sun?
Sun is ruby.
Ruby?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for the sun.
Jupiter is yellow.
Yellow sapphire.
Yeah.
Sapphires bedecked the walls, and the floors glowed with perpetual brilliance. In that palace, Twashta had arranged canopies with hanging strands of pearls. There were also seats and beds fashioned of ivory and precious jewels. In attendance were many well-dressed maid servants, bearing lockets on their necks, and also armor-clad guards with turbans, fine uniforms, and jeweled earrings. The glow of numerous jewel-studded lamps dispelled all darkness in the palace. My dear king, on the ornate ridges of the roof danced loudly crying peacocks, who saw the fragrant aguru incense escaping through the holes of the latticed windows and mistook it for a cloud. So, if we go back to live with Krishna, the devotee gets all the opulence that Krishna gets. Sarupya, Samipya, Shashti, and Salokya. So devotee gets all of those opulences. If we go back to the spiritual world, you get all of those things. Salokya means you're on the same planet as Krishna, same place. Sarupya means you get a spiritual form. Krishna has a spiritual form, you also get a Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Right? And then Shashti means... Opulences means you get to have all of this. Just like, you know, we come here to the temple. We all come here. The deities eat opulently. We also eat opulently. Yeah. Difference is we're not deities. So everyone has cholesterol problems and all these problems. But we get all the facility the deity gets. And samipya means? Yeah. Means you become an associate. You can enter, you can serve in the pastimes of Krishna. That's the potency. So, here it's describing the opulence, and any devotee who goes back to the spiritual world also experiences that opulence.
What is Shashti?
Shashti. Opulence.
Opulence.
Yeah. So it's in the Nectar of Devotion. You read the Nectar of Devotion. All these things are described. Now, what is the qualification to experience all these things? You have to have a cooperative service attitude. Krishna has to trust you. Why are we not in the spiritual world now? Right? Because Krishna does not trust us. Because if you go back now, you'll cause problems. You will. You'll cause problems. You know, if we're in the spiritual world right now, we will cause problems. and it won't work. So Krishna doesn't trust us. When he trusts us, then he will let us back in. Come in now. But until he can trust us, he can't let us back in. Right? As long as our devotional attitude is not pure, we can't go back to Krishna. You have to have a pure devotional attitude. Otherwise you'll cause problems. Yeah? You'll disturb the other devotees, and yeah, you might even disturb Radharani or one of the gopis or one of the cowherd boys or his parents. You know, Krishna won't allow that to happen. So he keeps us here until we're ready. This is sadhana. Yeah. We're practicing sadhana. We're sadhakas. When you become advanced, you reach the platform of bhava, then you can go enter back into the pastimes. And when you get to the platform of bhava, you go back into the pastimes, you get trained. And when you get prema by the association of his devotees, then you go back to spiritual world. In that palace.
How do you know that you don't?
What's that?
How do you know that you have got enough love for him?
That's between you and him.
Nothing. But if you don't follow any rules or anything, you know, some people, as they say, oh, I'm a devotee. Can they be a devotee?
Krishna sees what's in your heart, that's the point.
Okay.
There's only two people who know what's in your heart. It's you and Krishna. So it's between you and him.
That's true.
So when you love him, he'll bring you back.
Yeah,
so we have to cultivate that love. In that palace, the learned Brahmana saw the Lord of the Satvatas, Sri Krishna, together with his wife who fanned him with a gold-handled yak tail fan. She personally served him in this way, even though she was constantly attended by 1,000 maidservants, equal to her in personal character, beauty, youth, and fine dress. So the most important point is that she personally did the service. Jiva Goswami says, I told you this a few months ago. Jiva Goswami says in the Sandarbhas, if you have a deity, right, at home, if you have a deity of Krishna, or Gaunitai, or whoever it is you worship at home, you have to do the service. Right? If you get someone else to do the service, it weakens your devotion to the deity. You have to do the service. You see, Rukmini, she could get everyone else. She has thousands of maidservants. And she could say, you do the service. No, she will do the service. So we have to serve the deity. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, why may we do... Oh, sorry. Did I?
You missed
2 words. Oh, no, I missed... Sorry. 14 and 15?
Yeah.
I missed? Okay. Sorry. I must have jumped them. Thank you, Aishwarya. Good. The Supreme Lord is the greatest upholder of religious principles. Thus, when he noticed Narada, he rose at once from Goddess Sri's bed, bowed his crowned head at Narada's feet, and, joining his palms, had the sage sit on his own feet. Sorry, his own seat. This is culture. Culture means someone comes to your house, you have to respect them. It means even when you just see a devotee, you have to respect them. It actually says, if you see a devotee and you don't smile, it's an aparadha. If you're not happy to see the devotees, you know, if you're like, you know, upset with a devotee or something, it's, you know, small, not a big apparatus, but small apparatus there. You have to be careful. So whenever a guest comes, you have to receive very nicely. And he's respecting the superior. Narada is the superior. In terms of Varna, he's Brahmana, Krishna's Kshatriya, like that. He's a sage, a rishi, he's a Kshatriya prince. So he understands the etiquettes. Narada understands he's supreme, but he wants to teach all of us. We should follow the etiquettes nicely. The Lord bathed Narada's feet and then put the water on his own head. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme spiritual authority of the universe and the master of his devotees, it was proper for him to behave in this way. For his name is Brahmanyadeva, the Lord who favors the Brahmanas. Thus Sri Krishna honored the sage Narada by bathing his feet, even though the water that bathes the Lord's own feet becomes the Ganges, the ultimate holy shrine. So he shows us how to respect saintly persons. And our spiritual life, how much we advance in Krishna consciousness, is how much we respect saintly persons. Sadhu Sangha. There are five powerful ways to serve Krishna. One of them is Sadhu Sangha. Jiva Goswami specifically says that means advanced devotees. We have to associate with and respect every devotee, but especially advanced devotees, especially. It means every devotee respect, but especially advanced devotees. Our spiritual life, we advance as much as we serve advanced devotees. That's the process. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.